Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to the human being, the insan, many forms of ibadah, many forms of worship, so that the human being can, via the mode, the implementation of worship, attain rada, the pleasure of his Rabb, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on every ibadah, on every act of worship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set aside and gives ajeeb, beautiful, brilliant rewards to the people who practice and worship. And all ibadah that we have around us, the different worship deeds we implement, from all of these, the thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes the most, and the most aziz and the greatest act of worship, and which is for the pleasure of Allah, to attain the pleasure of Allah, a very high form of worship. Now, with this act of worship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately becomes pleased with His servant, with His creation, with the human being. Immediately. And Allah ta'ala has not kept this worship action hidden. Rather, it has been announced. It has been explained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this ibadah, this act of worship, I like this. Allah ta'ala has said in the Qur'an Hakim, Allah has explained it in the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this deed, this act of worship, first and foremost, this came and was present in the lives of the Anbiya, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And all of the Sahaba ikram radiyallahu anhum also implemented these deeds, this act of worship. And all of the Salihin, our pious predecessors, practiced this worship. And when this worship comes out of the life of a person, and all the other acts of worship continue physically, but because you don't have this worship deed in your collection or in your life, then in the ma'ashara, in the society and in our own personal lives, nowhere will there be where an insan and human being can be seen as successful if this specific deed is not in our lives. Now, even if all of the other worship actions are there, but because this action is highest and is baland, highest in terms of its status, then it needs to be included in our lives for success. And this ibadah is related to the akhlaq of a human being, the conduct and manners and behavior of a human being. And because all deeds related to akhlaq, behavior and conduct, manners are very high indeed, Allah Ta'ala has given akhlaq, the subject of behavior and manners and conduct, a very high level and esteem. And through this, Allah Ta'ala says that your deeds are very quickly accepted. If we look today around us in society, all of the ibadat people are doing, people are struggling, striving, making effort to worship Allah, to remember Allah. But this ibadah, this worship action of akhlaq, we pay less attention to this. We give less importance to this. And we don't even try to implement this deed, this act of worship. And this is the reason why. Because we have rejected akhlaq as our life hinging on akhlaq, we are lost out as a society. And rather, if we see that this is such a great act of worship, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quickly becomes pleased with His servant through the acts of good akhlaq, in comparison to other acts of worship where we physically remember Allah and pray, etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this ibadah in the Qur'an Hakim as well. Allah Ta'ala says, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةٌ. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said here in the Qur'an that those people, the mu'mineen, those who have iman, the mu'mins, those who Allah Ta'ala likes and Allah gives their sign, Allah says, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Subhanallah. That who are these people? Who are these people? What is the quality of the mu'min? The person who has iman, who believes, who Allah Ta'ala is pleased with. Who Allah Ta'ala is pleased with. Allah says that these people, they on their nafs, their self, their desires, their own preferences, their needs, their whole life, everything in their lives, Allah says, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Subhanallah. That on all of the things in the life, their likes and their preferences, their nature becomes such that they give other people priority first. Allah says, but rather they give others preference over themselves. They will look after others first. others first, then they look at the hunger of somebody else before their own hunger. Aha. Allah says, وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةٌ. Even though poverty be their own lot, even though if they're extremely hungry themselves, but what will they do first? They will look after the next person first. This is the azim quality and the practice and the sign of the person of the iman, that he will suppress his own hunger and ignore his own hunger. He'll rather, or she will rather, prefer to stay hungry, but feed others first. Look after others' stomachs first. Somebody's need, upon somebody's need, is to give away your own need, to sacrifice your own need for the preference and the betterment of others. You don't give the priority to your own self and your own relaxation and comfort, rather you give preference to the comfort of others. What a beautiful and brilliant life of a human being if he or she does this. This is the genuine life we should live. That this is the meaning of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And the people who recite this kalima, they are not selfish. They don't think about themselves. They don't look inward. Rather, they are outward looking. They would rather have problems themselves, but they won't want anyone else to have a problem. They won't be able to see somebody in difficulty. This is the person of iman. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. And it's stated here that this verse that was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the situation surrounding this revelation. And he stated in the hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once was present, and a person came, and he came and he was in need, severe need. He had a need, and he came and requested the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "I'm dying with hunger and my situation is severe, extreme. I've not eaten for many days, for a long time. I need to have some food." Subhanallah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never rejected or refused anyone who asked, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never would turn somebody away. So first Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent that individual to his wives, that this man has come, we have to feed him. And if there's any food, please give to him. So from the houses of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the reply came that we swear by Allah who has sent you with the haq, that apart from water, I have nothing else to give to this person. And he came back and said that, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was the answer from your home. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent him to the house of his other wife that asked this home. And then he went there and he got the same answer or similar answer from that house. And then she said, I swear by Allah that I only have water. I have nothing in our storage or anywhere to feed him, to give him any food. And from each home, it is stated in the hadith that the same answer he obtained. Then he came back and said, Ya Rasulullah. And then Rasulullah said that, is there anyone who can feed this man, who can host him as a guest? And one Ansari Sahabi radiallahu anhu straightway said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I will accept him as my guest. Subhanallah. Now, the point is that he took him home, the Sahabi took him home. Now, he was enriched, where this was the hal of the Sahaba and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If the leader's home is empty without food, then what will the rest of them have? Nothing. Nothing. So he went to his wife and he asked his wife, that wife, my wife, look how lucky we are, that how much mercy Allah is on us, that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's guest, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's guest has come to our home. He was so happy. He said, what you do, my wife, is that bring some food, and let's feed him. She said, food? We don't have any food. He said, no food? He said, we must have something. She said, yes, in reality, there was a little bit of food, and that's for the children. And we have to feed the children, and we have nothing else at home. Allah, he said, okay, what you do is that the children, with love and affection, put them to sleep. And in the night they'll get up. We'll deal with that situation when that arises. But whatever food we've got, few pieces or morsels, present that food and put the light out. Put the light out. For this reason that I will sit with the guest. I have to serve the guest and so he'll sit. So put the light out so that while he's sitting there, the guest, what I'll do, I'll just put my hands to my mouth and pretend that I'm eating, and he'll hear that, and then at least his stomach will fill up. Subhanallah. So his wife did this and she put the light out, and the guest came and he was eating, the guest and the host, the Sahabi, the Ansari, he pretended he was eating. Then the guest left. In the morning, when the Ansari, the Sahabi radiallahu anhu, was there in the presence of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then Allah's Nabi smiled sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said that, just like you hosted my guest, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so happy with this action of yours, so happy. And what else do we need? Allahu Akbar. That's why Allah says, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ, that when a person, he gives up his own desires and likes and preferences for other people, he becomes a great individual, great human being. Look at this. What a straightforward and easy path of Islam we've got to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't take a second, Allah ta'ala becomes pleased. Doesn't take seconds. Doesn't even take 1 second. What's the reason? That we are in reverse gear today. We're in the opposite direction. Our focus is opposite. In another place, Allah ta'ala states that everything we claim we have Allah's love and we are practicing for Allah's love, Allah says it for my love. For my love, for my pleasure. That for my pleasure, Allah ta'ala says, if you take an orphan or miskin or a poor person or somebody who is in need and you feed that person, Allah says it's like what? Allah says that if you feed and help someone, then I'll become very pleased with that individual, man or woman, whoever. That for the sake of Allah's pleasure, for Allah's happiness, if we feed somebody who's in need, hungry, Allah becomes very happy. So brothers, this is a very big act of worship and the reward is massive. Massive reward for this. There's a hadith. In this it is stated, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that if a person fulfills the need, the requirement of his brother, of another person, any need, then it's as if his whole life he has served Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine this, imagine the reward for this. Imagine, massive reward. So this is ibadah, this is worship, akhlaq, and this is all ibadah. But this is such a great and high form, high level of worship, this action of akhlaq, that first and foremost, Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the reference he got for ibadah, the mention of worship, prayer, of his nabuwah. Remember when he was given the revelation, and the first reference that was given was akhlaq, conduct, behavior. High level of interaction. When the Prophet ﷺ came back home after the first revelation in the cave of Hira, then Hazrat Khadijah al-Kubra radiyallahu anha, may Allah be pleased with her, was his wife, and he was a little bit, you can say, surprised. And there was a little, and when Hazrat Khadijah saw the condition of the Prophet ﷺ, that he'd come with the revelation, he was a little bit of a surprise and shock. And imagine how Allah selected her as the beloved wife of Rasulullah ﷺ. And her first words, azim, great reception, how she received her husband. She didn't fear, she didn't shake, she wasn't afraid in any way, and she gave encouragement and great encouragement to the Prophet ﷺ. And it's stated, it's written by the Prophet ﷺ, that to give encouragement to the Prophet ﷺ, and this time was kamal. It was a great achievement. Nobody else could do this. And he was the Nabi, the Prophet. And he was saying, Zambiluni, Zambiluni, give me my cloak, let me wrap it around me, cover myself. And she saw, and she said that she wasn't afraid, she wasn't surprised, she wasn't scared. Rather, she gave encouragement to her husband, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, and her great words of encouragement. What was the reference? She said to the Prophet, because she was the wife, the great wife of Rasulullah ﷺ, great nasiyah she gave, and she was her colleague, and she knew one thing. And she said, why are you afraid? Don't be scared. Don't worry. Why are you worried? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is he going to leave you? You think Allah is going to make you worried? Allah is going to give you problems? What did she say? She didn't say that. She said that you are a great man, oh my husband, with great akhlaq. You are the one who helps the poor people, the miskeen. You feed the people in need and you look after them. And you are the sadiq, you are honest, and people have given you the title al-Amin, you're honest, and never have you lied, never have you uttered a lie from your blessed mouth, and people put their trust in you, they give you their things to look after. And whatever praise of akhlaq and behavior and excellent manners and conduct, she praised the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and explained that, how can it be that all of these qualities you've got, and you are worried? Allah will not keep you worried, don't worry. And she gave the encouragement and determination to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the mufassirin, the commentators wrote, the Hazrat Khadija radiyallahu anha, this was her kamal. This was a great action and achievement. She had farasat, she had that vision, she had that long-term sight, foresight, and she had the haqqaiq, the haq and the right, and within her, and she had the sift of ma'rifah, of the nearness to the Prophet, and she demonstrated this to give the encouragement at that time. And on top of this, in parallel, in another hadith, it is stated that Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha, she was, when the Prophet came and she saw her husband, then imagine her greatness and her vision and the quality she had and her understanding she had. Subhanallah. That with happy, she was so happy when she saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this state. She was so happy. And she said that this is a day of moment of happiness. This is not that we have to be worried. And straight away it was like her uncle Waraqa bin Nawfal, and he was a pious elder at that time, he was the Hafiz of the Tawrat and the Injil, and he was an old man and he knew the scriptures, and she took the Prophet to his company, and for taqwiyat, for reassurance, that tell us what is this, that this has just occurred. When she explained to Waraka what happened, he said, yes, that same angel that came to Musa alayhi salam, Mubarak, congratulations to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are the Prophet of Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you good news. So this was Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha, and her maqam, great status. And on top of this, she had so much love for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, extreme love. All her life, from the beginning to the end, she had love. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the end, to his last day, he remembered Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha. There was once a day, he was sitting with his wife Hazrat Khadija, or was eating, and suddenly he got up and he went out towards the street. And she said, why is it suddenly you went? And he said, I felt that I could hear Khadija from outside. He was sitting, eating at home, or sitting at home with his family. And he said, I felt like I heard Khadija from outside. And an ajeeb event, when she was about to pass away, she was lying down, and her children were there, and Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha was about to pass away. And she said to her daughter, go and tell the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to give me his cloak. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and said, what is it, O Khadija? Why are you asking for the cloak, my sheet? She said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it seems as if that my final day is near, and I wanted to be wrapped. I don't want to just leave like this. I want to be wrapped in your cloak, and I want to depart from the world in that state. So look at the answer of the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he said, O Khadija, you are that woman, you are my wife, and you have given me assistance from the first to the last. You are that woman that you are asking me for my cloak. If you ask me for the skin, the leather of my skin, I will take that off and give it to you to wear. Subhanallah, this was the love between Rasulullah and Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha. So the start, initiation, encouragement, determination, reassurance, this was the beginning. Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha, she gave this. So the beginning of Islam through this example shows us in these hadith is akhlaq. Doesn't matter how much we worship, doesn't matter how much we pray, do what you want, do what I want, we want. But if my tongue is not correct, then nothing's correct. If what I mutter and state is wrong, then nothing's correct. If my practice, my physical practice is not good with others, then my worship is of no use. If I have not made good with the society, then what's the use of my prayer? If I don't have the right style and mannerism and approach to talking to people, what's the point of praying and worship? Have we seen the ma'ashara today? Society, what's the reason for our loss and darkness in society? The reason is we've left this ibadah of akhlaq, manners, behavior. We have all the other prayer, worship. Hundreds of thousands of people go on hajj. 1 million, 2 million, 3 million people go on hajj. We don't know, is it umrah, or is it hajj, or is it ramadan? All the time comes and goes, and many millions of people go. Millions of people go. But all of the people that come that you will have experienced, I have experienced, and I know me, and we are all included in this, that we don't have 1 inch of bardasht, of being able to bear issues and problems and difficulties in Masjid an-Nabawi, from where these beautiful teachings of Noor and Akhlaq emanated from. We see that a human being will not even allow to give space to another person to sit next to him and pray. If the space is tight, for example, if we sat down, and we sat down, say, with, then we'll open our legs up wider. If somebody else wants to come sit next with us, no, I don't want him to come and sit in between. Have we seen this or not? Yeah? Imagine this. We don't even allow somebody to sit next to us. We don't want to give them space. Will we be forgiven with these actions? We don't read Quran. We don't understand Quran. Humanity, rights to other people. We don't have importance of these things. There's no one to give tabligh on these points, to propagate these points. There's nobody to explain to other people these points. Then in the court of Allah, when we will go to Allah Ta'ala's court, then the most fitna and shaitaniyat inside us today is that, oh, somebody was saying that outside the masjid, he was saying this. But he said, Hazrat, one thing I don't understand is that, for example, me and you are speaking at the moment, we're talking to each other, then most definitely, then the other person will definitely think that we are speaking against him. This is how much we have got mistrust in our society. So much mistrust has been sown in society that we don't even have confidence that we can speak to somebody else, because the third person will think, is he speaking about me? Is he gossiping about me? Backbiting about me? Is he making enemies with me? Is he speaking about my business? Is he asking about my business? Is he spying on me? Yes, and this has become so extreme and prevalent in society today, common, widespread, to the extreme, that our initiation of our deen and our forgiveness comes from akhlaq, great manners and behavior. Do you think this is a small thing? That to fulfill the need of another person, to fulfill the need of your brother, sister, in your life, if you do this, then it's as if your whole life you have served Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine, this is the hadith. Can we imagine the reward for this? the level for this, the acceptance for this, and Allah's pleasure for that person who's doing this. My friends, our style doesn't change, our anger doesn't finish, and with our relations with other people, we are extreme, we don't feel like laughing with others or joking with others, we don't want to sacrifice for others and give to others more than what we've got, and we speak a lot, we say we've got knowledge, and we all think we're qutab and ghawth and pious and walis of Allah, and I don't think I'm even less than that, and I've just gone one trip on Umrah, and then you keep talking about the dreams, oh I did this and I saw this and I'm pious, I had kashuf and vision and karamat and miracles in my life. Don't ask, but this is the hal, the basic first step on the ladder. The basic first. Allah Ta'ala said clearly, وَيُؤْثَرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. These are those people who prefer to give for others before themselves. Rather than fulfilling their own desires, they sacrifice their own desires and give to other people. They will not be selfish, rather they'll be more selfish for other people's betterment. So we don't consider this as worship. There's no importance of akhlaq in our lives, nor do we work on this. Everything we are told, look here, that the more we have of something, the more ibadah we have, the more rewards that come, then don't we need to exercise more effort on those? If there's an action that results in more reward, then we need to spend more time and effort on that action of akhlaq. Yes? And to reach this level of acceptance, and the Quran is telling us that, for example, we will give everything for ourselves, but we don't give for others. So we need to flip that and spend more time and effort for others. We have fasting and salah and hajj and zakah. There is effort. There is effort, and people are working hard on salah, on hajj, etc. But now let's compare all of the acts of worship with this ibadah, akhlaq, helping others, assisting others. All of the other ibadat and worship, to a certain level you go, you don't need to make effort after that. When, for example, you start prayer in the beginning, there's a difficulty, then you become habitual and used to praying salah, and you keep on doing it. It's not hard for you. Fasting, the month passes, and all of the time passes with it. But akhlaq is such an ibadah that for a few moments, it's not an effort for a few moments or a few minutes or a few hours. The whole life you have to keep on making effort of good akhlaq. Keep on, you have to watch out on your heart, assess your heart, analyze your heart, stay away from bad manners and mistreating others and looking down others. And if we don't do that, we will not attain nothing. We don't work hard on this ibadah, we don't make effort on this ibadah, we don't consider this as worship. The whole life we have to make effort on the worship of good akhlaq. That how can I help others, assist others, improve my character, my manners, my behavior. And this is the hinge, the pivot on which all of the other acts of worship hinge, and they will be accepted on this. When another person will look at us, a non-Muslim, he will not look at my prayer, the marks of prostration on my forehead, my umrah, my tahajjud. What will he be looking out for or looking to be pleased with? My akhlaq, my manners, my behavior, my conduct. Which ibadah will help now? Akhlaq will help. What hadith? We could read, discuss hadith for so long, so many hadith, how the awliya Allah became waliyyu Allah as a khwaja. Muhammaduddin Chishti Ramdai went to Indian subcontinent, and hundreds of thousands of people became Muslims. 900,000 people became Muslim. Was there a bomb, a sword, or fight, or killing? No. People came to Islam. The 900,000, the 9 million people, 9 million people came to Islam with keenness and passion and desire. What did he have? Magic? Did he cast a spell on them? No. What did he have? What did he have as a tool that he implemented? It was his tongue, his good speaking. That tongue that didn't backbite, that didn't lie. He had sweetness on his tongue. Beauty and sweetness on his tongue. That when he presented Islam in a beautiful, beloved way, the people, they were so attracted to the deen. He made effort on his akhlaq, on his manners, on his conduct. He understood the importance of this subject. This, actually, my brothers, this is a very important factor, very important subject, a very important point. And Allah Ta'ala, may He has brought us somehow, He's dragged us to this point. But we need to understand our destination, our objective. And if we don't correct our akhlaq, then let's not live in the deception that I will rise as a dhakir and a worship on the Day of Judgment. First, I will be asked about my akhlaq, my conduct. And to practice good akhlaq, manners, behavior, to improve this, to understand this, we have to wash ourselves in our heart. We have to the depths, wash and clean our hearts. We need to clean our hearts, purify our hearts. That the Kaaba, going around the Kaaba, yes, we go there, we go to look at the Kaaba. Now the Kaaba, the importance and the greatness of the Kaaba, we see we have Zamzam there, we drink Zamzam, and the cloth of the Kaaba, it's changed during the year and it's clean. And there's a verse that the cloth of the Kaaba, how is it washed? How is it clean? With Zamzam. And the heart, how is that purified? How is that clean? With the tears of the human being. The tears wash the heart. When the pain of the tears come out of the eyes of a person, they wash the pain in the heart of the person. When a person cries due to looking at somebody else's difficulty, somebody's problems and worries, and you can't sleep, and you see the problems and issues that other people have, like, I've got difficulty, you have difficulty. You know, there was in our Akabreen, our pious predecessors, our elders, all of them, we see that this is their mizaj, this is their style, that they don't want to take the problems and difficulty. If somebody else has a problem, it feels as if they have a problem. They feel it themselves. So this is the standard that we should have our dhikr, and that's when the success will come with the grace of Allah. That's when a person, if he does dhikr of Allah in parallel with akhlaq, when we take selfishness out of our lives, when we take out greed out of our lives, when we don't feel that I want, and rather we should give towards someone else, feed that person, help this person. As I said to you, that this is the level. We in a nice place, we don't even want somebody else to come and sit with us in Masjid al-Nabawi. Why should I give him space? He's going to make it tight for me. I'm going to have to sit, you know, squeezed. And if we don't get some place, so go to the back. Why are you coming here? Why are you trying to go forward? You start arguing with somebody else and quarreling with somebody else. So here, when this mu'amalat happens and it comes into our heart, tell me, the rest of our life, what practical implementation of helping others will we do? So my brothers, most of all we need to think, most of all with regards to akhlaq, most of all we need to think on this point. Allah Ta'ala loves this action. Most important to Allah is this action of akhlaq, the behavior. Manners, interaction with society, social intercourse, to work with people, assist people, help people, and to improve our own selves, our manners and our conduct, so other people benefit from this. So we should try this. For example, you're severely hungry, your children are hungry, and there's somebody who comes to ask at your door, knocks on your door, and you take your food and give to him. Is this something to discuss? This is about doing. This is what you need. You need a big heart to do this. Alhamdulillah. That you give your beloved food, that look here, you needed food. Don't worry, I'll get my food afterwards from somewhere. Feed that person. Can we do this? Do we do this? There's something you like, you're about to eat it, you see that person need, give him. Or somebody needed an item, you've got it, you say, hey, take it. And even if we give somebody an item, for example, here, the masjid is what we give, then we say, oh, can you put my name on the list so they know that I gave? Can you put my name on the list? That what we say is, oh, please advertise my name, put it on the list so they know that who donated. Okay, fine. Fine. So, this is something that's lacking. This subject, this action of worship is lacking. And without fulfilling this action, how can we die? Brothers, let's ask from Allah. Allah will help us make our niyah correct. That within us, that when we see that there's such an action, we've done this wrong, then rather than preferring ourselves, we should prefer others to have the betterment and to have something. Rather, this is how we should feel. That, no, you take this. It's okay, you have first. You first. And if, for example, somebody is swearing at you or ridiculing you, have patience. Okay, no problem. And if we bring this in our lives, then all these debates and court cases and killing and fighting would all end. 99% of the problems in our societies today is due to this point. This is the argument that we are selfish, we are greedy, we want more, me. Brothers and sisters have rifts and they have cracks in their relationships because we don't teach our children love, biyar, muhabbat, relationship, because the children look at their parents, say, oh, they're not happy with their brothers and sisters. You'll see this most commonly in families, brothers and sisters quarreling, rifts, disagreements, fights, and break up in relations, and they don't even visit each other. They don't even go to each other's homes. Their children, the cousins, don't meet each other. Father, for example, he's left the home, goes out to work. In the homes, for example, 2-3 sisters or brothers, but they don't even have the decency to meet each other, to improve the relationship. The shaitan plays the total game in their lives, and he splits them up. Breaks them up. And we don't want to hear the praise for each other. Real sisters, blood sisters. For example, 2 sisters. If one sister's son achieves something good, the other sister becomes jealous, envious. Oh, he's got better grades. My son was less well off. What a society we're living in. Forget about the strangers. I'm talking about the blood relations. What's the reason for this? That we, all of us, have not made effort on this worship action of akhlaq. We've not paid attention to it. We've not focused on it. We've not thought about it. And this is the ma'amla of this as well. For example, you do wudu, you pray salah, you put the prayer mat down, you go to the masjid, you learn Quran, you learn the tariqah, the method. In the same way, to obtain this, we have to do tazkiyah, purification of the heart. We have to improve our akhlaq. This is what we have to do, isn't it? The tariqah, the methodology that has been told. We have to obtain that tariqah. We have to implement that tariqah, the method. We can't learn this from books. You can't attain conduct, manners from books or reading the Quran. This will give us knowledge, facts. But if we don't physically implement the action to improve our hearts, to clean our batin, to purify our inner self, and then we will learn the akhlaq. That's when we will become better. Then we'll be successful. Inshallah. Now you, me, for example, if somebody is selfish with me, your brother, your sister, my brother, for example, our relatives, and we see that they're selfish, we say, okay, fine, you take this, why are you afraid? This is your right, and hey, I'll give you beyond that. What do you want? Because he's your blood, your relationship is there, and he'll say, oh, then they will change the situation. No, brother, please, okay, don't give to me, I want it. Then he'll argue, no, take it back, don't take it. I say, no, I don't want, you take. I'll give you this, and you take this as well. If there's a brother who is, mashallah, practicing deen, understands the deen with the grace of Allah, Allah's blessings, he has cleaned his heart, she has cleaned her heart, they know what is right, wrong, and the others are in darkness, and when there are arguments over money or assets, then that brother says, this is okay, you take my right. Suddenly they're shaken. There's a jolt. What's happening here? He's given us his rights. No, take my right. Do you want some more? Here, take this as well. I'll give you this all. No difference is made to it. It's okay. Take it. Take it. Have it. Be pleased. They'll be amazed. Brothers and sisters, then their self comes, awakens. Then they realize their mistake. And then those people who give to others preference over themselves, they sleep a beautiful, nice sleep. They have no worry, no fikr, no issue, no distress, no problem. They sleep easily and get up in the morning to pray Fajr Salah. Sakina upon Sakina, sukoon, peace, satisfaction and happiness. All of the problems, they emanate from this root, that when we are selfish and greedy, and when we don't care about others, then people who worry about others and they have their own worries, they can't sleep in the night, they get up suddenly, what have I done? I've hurt somebody else. Sometimes it happens that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahu Akbar, when He gives special mercy to people, then such people, they give, Allah gives them nasiha, Allah ta'ala grabs them, that you oppress this person, you pain this person, then Allah ta'ala grabs him, gives him the tawfiq to do tawbah, that person repents, and then Allah ta'ala brings him towards the deen. And this is Allah's massive karam and mercy, if Allah ta'ala changes a person directly. And then a person, if he gets Allah ta'ala's tawbah directly, Allah ta'ala's mercy, then he should make more effort. Allah saved me, He's brought me to the deen, I need to make effort on myself, that I was a waste of a spider in the society, and now Allah ta'ala selected me. And look at this, who doesn't want in society that I am a good person, that others like me and love me, and that I love others like others? Is there anybody here naturally in this depth of his heart wants to be an enemy with others? Nobody does. But everyone desires that. I want to meet people with love. I have no argument with people. Everyone has this desire, isn't it? And this is a very easy way to do this. What is this? That you correct yourself, I correct myself, I purify my heart, and there's such an attraction that comes to love that everybody will start to love you. Love me. Love us. Let's try to practice this. Even your enemy will start to love you. Even your enemy will start to love you. Because Allah Ta'ala wants this. Allah Ta'ala wants this from His servant. Subhanallah. So may Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we definitely look at this. If we've got things lacking in our lives, worship, nenistwala akhlaq, whenever there's an opportunity to give away your things and items and food to others, think. Allah Ta'ala says that if you fulfill the requirement of my servant, then it's like you have served me your whole life. Allah says, nothing will be lost. You will get massive ajr, massive reward. If a little bit of my own items and belongings are reduced and I give to others, I pick somebody else's shoes up and he's happy, no difference to me. If somebody's got a problem and I have to sacrifice my time for that person, no problem. What have I lost? I've got some reward, inshallah, in the hereafter. That, for example, if he wants that I pick up his shoes in front of everyone, then we'll see, then with happiness, pick up his shoes, put them in front of him to help him, to assist him. See? There's no problem. He won't sleep, but all night long you will sleep a beautiful sleep. And he'll have the fikr. What is this? That he assisted me. He put his shoes, my shoes in front of me. He's playing games with me. What's this? That he assisted me. He served me. What a kamal. And 5-6 times he'll phone you. That, yaar, I didn't understand. How comes you served me and helped me? That you're my enemy. I hate you, for example, and I don't like you. And you helped me and you assisted me. For example, he does more. And you sleep with the coolness of the heart and mind. That, alhamdulillah, I have no worries. No worries. There's an enmity, and people make enmity due to their own selfish reason. But if we clean our hearts, purify our hearts for others, then the enemy will become a friend. The enemy will become a friend. The question is, there are many examples, Quran Hadith teaches us, and the initiation of our deen is this. The first wahi gave this message, Rasulullah SAW, the first wahi, and how he was received by Rasulullah, by Hazrat Khadija, when the Nabuwa was sent to the Prophet Muhammad says, here we realize that what was the selection of Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra radiallahu anha. What a beloved wife, great woman, the Khatun Awwal, the first woman in Islam radiallahu anha, mashallah. May we give all to her firasat, her vision, her aqaid, her belief on her marif, on her nearness to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How she gave encouragement, reassurance to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that time. When he came from getting the first revelation, she understood what this situation was. And what she gave the reference, and she gave the true reference, that the action that will come in your ummah, the reason why Allah Ta'ala sent you to the world, O Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that you were that before. you are honest, sincere, and you preserve the trust, and you're a great human being. Brother, everyone is calling you Ameen. Everyone is happy with you, pleased with you. You don't need to fikr, nothing to worry about. And what's the argument now? There's another argument here, is that due to Allah Ta'ala's deen, people will argue, they won't believe in Allah, they will accept you as a great human being, but they won't believe in Allah. This is what will happen. And this is what occurred. So much uruj, Allah Ta'ala has put akhlaq on the highest level. The first action Allah Ta'ala demonstrated was the akhlaq of the Prophet Muhammad. And Allah Ta'ala has told us that Allah says, don't look at the tahajjud. Don't look at physical worship and prayer. First and foremost, and ongoing, to the whole world. Allah Ta'ala has given the reference here. And the reference that is given in the world, the first action, what was the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? He showed akhlaqi husana, the greatest conduct and standard of behavior of a human being. And this is what we need to understand. We need to teach this to our children, give them tarbiyah, and correct our own mahal. Do you understand? This is not the case. We need to explain to the children, this is deen, give to others more than to yourself, and you should have love between each other, brothers and sisters, and you should have love for each other, create muhabbat and love. When if there's somebody who's an enemy, who's made enmity with you, then consider that this person is making enmity with my brother, this has happened, backbiting, gossiping, and he's making me argue with my wife, this and that. Then be humble and sincere with that person, and say, listen carefully. And yourself, correct yourself, wash your heart first, and take all the impurity out of your heart, then your brother will also be correct with you and nice with you. What a beautiful society we'll have that we're living in. Brothers and sisters are sitting, eating together, sacrificing each other, love, muhabbat, assistance, consideration, give and take, parents, mother and father, it becomes a jannah. The home becomes a jannah. On one dastarkhan, we can't even sit and eat. That if she sits, I won't sit. Or if this person comes to the invitation, I won't come. If that person's in this car, I won't sit in the car. If she's in the car, I won't go in that car. Or she said this to me, I'm not going to sit and face it. She took my rights, my share, consumed it. So what? Is there any right or any share of a person in the world? Tell me. Is there any share or right in the world? Everything will disappear. Everything. So let's make our hearts big, my friends. Let's make effort on our hearts, clean our hearts, purify our hearts. When we have qalb salim, this is the meaning of qalb salim, we don't have to give to anyone, nor do we have to take from anyone. We don't owe anyone anything, nor does anyone owe us anything. That's what we should do. And after every salah, this is a great dua, do this dua. After every salah prayer, do one dua definitely. The Allah, that whichever people that knowingly, unknowingly, consciously, unconsciously from my tongue, however, physically if I've given pain, or a problem, whether I knew it or I didn't know it, knowingly, unknowingly, whoever I've given pain or distress to, whoever I've given issues to through my tongue, through my hands, through my body, through my life, through my words, after every salah, make this dua, that Allah, please give that person the highest reward, the most reward. And this ibadah I've just done, Allah, this is a cheap bargain. I'm telling you, brothers, that this salah, Allah, I've just prayed, Allah, accept my prayer and give the thawab to that person who's got enmity with me. Allah, give him your qurb, give him your nearness. And this is the dua. The Rasulullah taught us this. There's something we should at least lessen the burden. Or will we give our deeds on the day of judgment? We need to do this dua. Don't worry. We make mistakes. All of us can make mistakes. All of us, that we've pained somebody's heart or broken somebody's heart and we've given them distress. And on the day of judgment, we will realize when we ask Allah for forgiveness here. Allah will say, I'm pleased with him. I received this bundle of regret and let this person go into Jannah. Allah, I ask for forgiveness in the world. And many people have died who we oppressed. We will have oppressed and they've passed away. Many people will have passed away. How will we attain the forgiveness for that? And say, Allah, those who've passed away, who are oppressed, and those who are alive, who are oppressed, and those people who I said wrong things to or did wrong to, this is tasawwuf. This is tasawwuf. If I was pried in from somebody, I had angry, hit somebody at home, children, family, and I couldn't ask for forgiveness, then Allah, please be merciful that I can't fulfill that right on the day of judgment. And the burden, the weight of that issue is on my head. And I can't sleep. I've got depression. I'm taking tablets, sleeping tablets. I need to fulfill the rights of the people. All my deeds, Allah, I've practiced and worship. Allah, give him your qurb. These people have oppressed. Allah, give them all the reward of my deeds as well. And give them your qurb and nearness and marifah. Allah, these are the words of the hadith. Allah becomes very happy. Allah says, now he has learned. Now he's understood that in the world he's given, make such a sacrifice for that person that he's given his ibadat, he's given his worship, the thawab, and is asking Allah for acceptance. So this is, make this a very good dua, make this a regular practice in your life. I said this will help us massively. Whatever action we do, Umrah, Hajj, Salah, prayer, dhikr, Quran, recitation, the end, make this dua, the Allah, please give the thawab, the reward of this deed to those people who have an enmity or friction with me. So the barakah, the blessings, what will happen? That your heart will become made and better and stronger and the taste of iman will come into our hearts. We don't get the taste of our salah, we don't get taste of dhikr, we don't get the taste of Quran, we don't get the taste of going to the masjid, of prostration. So where will come the deen from? How will it come to us? the deen. That if you hurt somebody's heart, if you've oppressed somebody, excess against somebody, then dhulm to somebody, then Allah says that where will the taste of ibadah come then into your life? If your akhlaq is wrong. So with an honest heart, make effort, clean your hearts, purify your hearts. For that Allah Ta'ala has given us a beautiful method, which is dhikr of Allah in abundance and the company of the sheikh. The company of the sheikh. That's it. That's it. The company of the wali of Allah is a massive, massive ni'mah of Allah. Sit with the pious people, wali of Allah, awliya. The sohbat of the sahala, the connection with the sahale, with the righteous people, sit with good people, pious people, your akhlaq will become better. When you see how are they sacrificing for this. You see, everything I remember of Hazrat, and this is the I remember the most, the Hazrat, how he used to sacrifice his own things for this. He'd stay hungry, but he'd feed others. How people would come from far and wide to the khanqah of Hazrat Sahib, rahmatullahi, and he'd take money out from somewhere and said, that please go and buy the bread from the tandoor and feed this person. The most concern that Hazrat would have for anyone, everyone around him would be how we need to feed this person. I remember Latifa, I was sat with Hazrat Sahib. This was the era of Bhutto. It was the time of Zulfiqar Bhutto, his daughter. I can't remember too much. It was politics, I'm not aware of too much. There was a man of Dera Ghazi Khan, and Bhutto, Zulfiqar Ali Bhutto, was visiting. A lot of people get excited. Oh, they were on the Uruj, the Bhutto family that time. And I was just like, I can't remember that event until now. And look at the habit of Hazrat Sahib, the Darvish. And the man came, he met Hazrat Sahib, said salam, shook hands. And he was a bit political man. He started talking, the Hazrat, you know, the Bhutto family, Bhutto's coming, or Benazir's come, and there'll be a jalsa, there'll be an event, conference. Then Hazrat Sahib, have you prepared the food for them? Subhanallah. Hazrat Sahib was worried always that, look at this, the concert, the event, the conference that was going to happen. And Hazrat said, that, have you prepared the food for them? The visitors are coming. What have you prepared for them to eat? And everyone was surprised and shocked. The Hazrat was saying, the beautiful, ajeeb dawah that will happen, that Hazrat will give. Obviously, the Hazrat's worried about those people are going to come to the conference for that politician, to the politician. And this was akhlaq-i husna. That Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has elevated this man. Elevate this one. And whatever near, but these were the words of Hazrat, subhanallah. So khair, Hazrat with the Darvish, and he used to say many things, many times. But look at the husni akhlaq that he said, have you prepared the food for them? Because he knew that these people are coming to my town. And they will be my guests at that time. So he asked that politician, have you prepared for the food or not? Are they going to be comfortable? Are they hungry still? And he was quiet. What could he say? He said, no, there's massive preparation. He said, yes, that they will get some food. He said, yeah, they won't go hungry, inshallah, they will get some food. As I said, yeah, look after them. Look after them. Allah, subhanallah. So my brothers, we should have such an akhlaq, subhanallah. Our hearts are hard, and we say wrong things from our mouths. What great people, the pious predecessors of the Sahaba, Rasulullah, and look what they've left the world with. And they earned so much. And this is the effort we must make in our lives. This is the effort. As promised ourselves, inshallah, we will meet people with a smile. Don't make a face, a frown. Don't make a face and be angry. Don't make a smirk. Nicely meet somebody with salam, smile, beauty, fragrance. You don't know he's your enemy, friend. Everyone you see, smile and go and shake that person's hand. Shake that person's hand. Do musafa. That even if he's just sworn at you, go to him, shake his hand. Practically, put your hand, shake his hand. He's just sworn at you and he's left, and I go out and I shake his hand. Kemcho, how are you? Everything okay? Saruche, and he's surprised. And then he starts to embrace me and embrace me. And he was ashamed. And there's no bad feeling in my heart. No bad feeling. This action should be in our life, shouldn't it? This quality and condition. What do we get from enmity? Nothing. He's swearing at me. What difference does it make to me? But if I go and meet him with love and affection, this is a great moment for me to earn for my hereafter. That 10 years if I worship, I wouldn't get as much reward as now going to the person who's swearing at me, who doesn't like me, and I go and embrace that person, shake his hand. I know that he doesn't like me. He's saying bad to me. He's committed excess against me. And I go and meet that person with love, and I pick up his shoes and embrace him. There will be no better opportunity than this, even compared to hundreds and thousands of Umrah and Hajj. Look, that who is displeased with us, who is swearing at us, look for that person. Seek that person, then go and embrace him and give him sweets. Somebody said very bad things to me with regard to a certain subject. Just here, right here. And I felt in the night, I was told, informed that he is extremely disrespectful. Without any reason, he said so much to me with regards to us getting together. And he kept on speaking negatively. So in the night, I called a brother and I said, "The guy, is there a shop open at this time?" He said, "It'll be difficult to find a shop." I said, "Wherever the shop's open, buy a very nice, beautiful box of chocolates for this person." And he went, the brother, and wherever he went and bought the, I said, "Go and deliver that box." He said, "He must be sleeping." I said, "You go and see. And if he's sleeping, then in the first informant in the morning, go and deliver that box." He said, Hazrat sent this box of chocolates? Hazrat sent this?" And he was amazed, shocked. And me, I was sleeping a nice, peaceful sleep. Alhamdulillah, beautiful sleep. Nice sleep that night. And I got up with difficulty at Tahajjud time. And I saw nice dreams at that time. Nice dreams. Now, and experience this. Now, I'm not telling you stories. I'm telling you the reality of life. You'll feel beautiful satisfaction when you speak like this, do these actions. Until today, the love between us two has improved. And will he commit excess? That he will swear at me. And will it happen again that he'll swear and I can give him a box of chocolates? But obviously, this will not take care again, inshallah. So, brothers, so much thawab we will earn through akhlaq. We are wasting this with the whole world, human beings. And a Muslim should never waste these opportunities. We should promote the haq and the rights of people. And have husnizan. Always think good about others. Even if there are whispers in your ear and someone says bad, that's this person said this, have good thoughts. You'll become a good Sufi and a Naqshbandi first class, A1. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.